Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA, who Dan Bean joins us today as we talk to Brad Sowers. He's the owner of Jim Butler Chevrolet, very well known across the area, a family business. He's in the third generation of it now. What are his thoughts on the business, where it's going, and maybe some words of advice for other family businesses across the area? We talk family business all across St. Louis. It's this week's edition of The Business of Family Business. Brad, I understand you're third generation in the business.
I am. I'm a son-in-law, which is now becoming a common occurrence in the car business.
In-law. So
in-law.
You married into the business.
Married into the family 35 years ago, actually.
Were you working there when you married in?
Unfortunately not. So I actually met my wife, Michelle, Jim's oldest daughter, at college at Butler University, believe it or not, and did not get into the business till about 15 years ago.
So let's talk about the business. When did it start?
Well, the business itself started with my father-in-law, Jim, and his father, Jim Butler, 1980. They started the business, and if you remember 1980, it was probably 21% interest on the floor plan and trying to get cars from the manufacturer. It was a very tough time, and a lot of car dealers were struggling at the time. My grandfather, or my wife's grandfather, was an assistant general manager for Chevrolet at the time and decided to get into the business from Chevrolet and decided to buy this dealership. And it was Anthony Chevrolet off of Watson Road.
So they bought the dealership. They didn't start it from, it wasn't a new dealership at that point.
That's correct. Yeah. It was a current point. And as you know, St. Louis has quite a few Chevrolet dealers. So back at the time, back in 1980, it was called Anthony Chevrolet. And before that, it was Koenig Chevrolet.
Mm. So what part of town? I've never actually been there before.
It's Crestwood.
Yeah.
So it's right off of Interstate 270 down Watson Road. So 9900 Watson Road is where the business started. We, in 2008, we actually moved the franchise out to Fenton. That's where the Chevy store is based out of there.
1980, the decision to go all in and do this sort of thing. You mentioned some of the problems that some dealership faced back then. It was not always easy to get inventory. It was not always easy for someone to buy a new car. Why was that the right time to take over a dealership?
I think when you speak to my father-in-law or my grandpa when he was alive, he would say it probably wasn't a great time to join. So it was quite a tough environment in the marketplace there. However, Chevrolet owned about 70% of the marketplace at the time. So if you had a dealership and you could run it efficiently, and the great news is my grandfather was very good at marketing and sales, and my father-in-law at the time was running plants, so very process-driven. So if you look inside of a dealership, it's basically five different businesses. So you have parts department, service department, new car sales, used car sales, wholesale environment that's there. And it's really a challenge, and you have to be very process driven. So both of them working together, I think, created a very successful brand.
70% in St. Louis?
70% in 1980, GM owned 70% of the marketplace.
Wow.
Right.
That's surprising to me. I didn't realize.
1980, think how things have changed. So Toyota entered the marketplace, right?
Yeah.
Foreign competition. Now Chevrolet still is the number one brand in St. Louis with about 20% of the marketplace.
So do you watch a lot of statistics? Do you do a lot of market research when it comes to this general area?
Absolutely, yeah. We have more brands than Chevrolet now. We have a Kia brand, we have a Fiat brand, we have a Maserati, an Alfa brand, and just recently purchased a Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram facility down in Lynn, Missouri. So, yes, we do research all the time looking at exactly how we can penetrate more business and take business away from other brands and other dealerships.
Now you're also competing with companies, for example, like Tesla, that we hear them trying to find ways to circumvent the dealer model altogether.
Correct.
The dealer model.
Right.
And there's been some pushback. There's been some people trying to stop that from happening. There's been a lot of people trying to move it forward. What's your take on that? And you kind of seeing how that's been, I guess, what's the industry talk on a model like that?
Well, I'm a dealer, so obviously I'm very disappointed that Tesla actually has that model because I'm required by franchise laws driven by the state to react and act in a certain fashion here in the state of Missouri or the state of Illinois, wherever I have a dealership, and required to adhere to those laws and practices. So because of those requirements and the taxes that I pay and the regulations that I have to follow, you know, I feel it's very unfair for a model to come in that doesn't have to do that. And frankly, if I was given the go-ahead that said, okay, you don't have to follow the franchise laws and you can operate at any location, I'm in. I'm a very good operator. I believe we are. My team is a very good operator. I can put a franchise anywhere I want. I could sell anywhere I want. I believe I'd be very successful in doing that. But a franchise model is set up to protect not just the dealer itself, but the consumer. So there's a significant amount of consumer laws in place that allows the consumer to resolve any issues because, frankly, they're vehicles, right? And people are involved. Vehicles are involved. You have to find and you have to have processes in place for that consumer to be able to settle or handle those particular issues. If you have an international company that really has no loyalty to St. Louis, Missouri, as for instance, what are the chances they're going to do the right thing for that community?
It's an interesting way to look at it. At Jim Butler, do all new cars smell the same?
Fairly close. Yes.
You can tell. Is there a way to tell different smells for a new car? I thought it was all universal.
No. It's all leather feel, right?
Yeah.
So it's a certain scent that's put into the cars that make them smell brand new. And that's really from the manufacturing process and the cloth and material that's there.
So it's an actual scent they put into it?
No, it's just part of the materials altogether. Yeah. It just all kind of creates a scent.
Brad Sowers got into the business like he got into the family, married in, and then purchased it from his father-in-law, Jim Butler Chevrolet. We learned the story of that. We talk about that next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. It's important to note that two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. So as you hear the story today about Jim Butler Chevrolet, imagine if that didn't happen, meaning that maybe it's time for the owner to retire or step down and there's no one in the family that wants to take it over or is able to take it over. How are you able to identify those people in the family business that could be a successor? How do you develop them? How do you make sure you're actively working to unify the two generations, to develop them and to be effective owners so when they do take over, the family business continues? Let me tell you about CMA Consulting in the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. Their sessions designed as critical topics to discuss and support effective family business ownership and then unify the next generation. Unify, develop, align, the three words that you need to keep at heart when it comes to bringing the family business to the next generation. When was the last time the members of your family business discussed how to apply insights into your business or even insights into your family? Don't wait any longer. Use the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. It begins in the first quarter of 2018. You're not too late. If you're a family business, you got to get into this. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860. It'll be one of the best things you can do for your family business if you're at some point going to transition to a new generation. 314-721-1860 or go to the website that all family businesses in St. Louis need to know, cmaconsult.com. This is The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. Stories of family businesses from all across St. Louis. And we're joined with Brad Sowers of Jim Butler Chevrolet. If you would like your family business story told, it's easy. Reach out to Dan Bean at CMA. The website, cmaconsult.com. So let's talk about the working relationship that you had with your father-in-law, because you met your wife in college. Well,
correct.
Then wasn't your wife, but became your wife.
Right.
And then how did you get involved with joining the family business?
Well, it's a good story, I guess. Made a decision. So 16 years ago, after 12, 13 years of marriage, I had a set of twins, a boy and a girl. And we lived in Dallas, Texas. I spent most of my life on an airplane. I call it, 5C. I flew. I've got 2.5 million miles on American Airlines and spent most of my life in Asia and Europe, opening up new marketplaces for software and technology companies, from anywhere from big company that you probably have heard of named Memorex to small companies you probably never have heard of and will never hear of again. But I did that quite a bit. But once we had the children, we decided my wife's a partner in a law firm. She works here locally now for Hush Blackwell. But we both spent a lot of time working. That's what we did. And once we had the children, we decided we needed to do something different. She wanted to stop work, and I didn't want to travel anymore. So Jim had always been talking to me about getting into the family business. So I made the phone call and said, okay, I think we may be ready. How do we do this? And I ended up at a kitchen table down in Dallas, Texas, writing him a check for 15% of the Chevrolet business.
Wow. Did your wife have any other siblings?
She does. She has a younger brother who works for me at the store today. Okay. He runs all of our what we call CTP units, which are courtesy transportation vehicles for our service departments that we have. And then she has a sister that ran all of the Saturn stores for the family up until 2009 when Saturn went away.
So you were someone that was kind of an outsider to the family. You married into it, but there was already some other siblings in the picture. Did they have interest in the business at that time?
Her sister Jackie did, of course, and was very successful. She was one of the most successful Saturn dealers in the nation. They were always the top performers and did a very good job with Saturn. Jim himself was one of the founders of the Saturn model for General Motors when it first came out. So Saturn was kind of a fast, hot growing commodity in our family. And Chevrolet was kind of a store that was doing okay and had the Chevrolet brand. And that's the one I decided to buy into.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to ask you about that because you probably have seen a lot of different dealerships. They have that family model to them. A lot of them are family owned.
Yes, there's a lot of distribution channels in a lot of industries are family owned. It's a nice way to do business. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy way for a family to have a business they can pass on generation after generation. But if you think of the beer industry, almost all of those wholesalers are family owned. Now, occasionally somebody will try to buy one and do a roll up. Automotive dealers, most of them are family owned. Mm. Occasionally somebody will buy one and try to do a roll up. HVAC industry, almost every industry, the distribution channel is owned by family businesses.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for some of these, they started when they made wagons or something like that and just migrated along with the transportation industry. A lot of others came in after World War II when the economy was growing, all the servicemen returned, and they need cars, moved to the suburbs, and it was a great time to start a business. So a lot of family businesses started in the late 40s, early 50s.
When you have a name associated with a dealership, I know my grandma was like this. Whenever she bought a car, she always went back and looked for the exact same person that had the family name. Like it was a familiarity thing for them. That's a big part of a family business, especially with a dealership, I'm guessing.
It's a huge part. And St. Louis is, you know, the biggest small town, as everyone knows. And I can talk to a lot of consumers or a lot of my customers every day. But until I say, oh, I'm part of the Butler family, even though my name is Brad Sowers, then the recognition goes, oh, I know Tom or Jim or Jackie or Missy or someone else associated with that. And that does bring, and that's why I think in this community alone, the dealerships, family-owned dealerships, have been extremely successful. In most towns and a lot of towns around the country, some of the roll-ups are happening. You know, Berkshire Hathaway buying dealerships that are there. Hendricks Motorsports buying a lot throughout the country. But in St. Louis, it's really still as a family community.
With that, your father-in-law, how was he marketing the dealership at the time before you bought it?
Before we bought it, you know, mostly direct mail, obviously, and some TV advertising, but rarely TV advertising, mostly billboards and direct mail marketing would really get the name out. But frankly, Watson Road is back in the 1980s was a busy, busy road. It was the only shopping center, the Crestwood Shopping Center. And when you came there for the holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you couldn't even get to the dealership because Watson Road was so busy with people going to the shopping mall. And that was obviously before West County Mall and a few of the other malls that grew up around the town.
So when you bought the business and you became owner of the business, what were some of the changes you made at that point?
Well, honestly, not too many.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, my first 5 years, I expressed, I've said this to a few people, I really felt I was a great businessman. I traveled the world. I've done everything. I've met people, done this, ran some boards, ran some small divisions, ran some big divisions, got into the car business and said, it can't be this hard, right? Let me tell you, it's very hard business. I got a whole nother level of respect for the dealer and the dealer families that run this business because it is complex.
Yeah, what makes it hard?
It's just really the mass amount of moving parts, because remember, you're servicing customers that are there. You're acquiring trade-ins or used cars for customers to buy. You're refurbishing those. You have to have these processes and the people and team in place that does things correctly. And then add in all the different aspects of marketing yourself and how you differentiate yourself between all the different brands that are out there and the same brand, other dealers that are there.
Right.
How do you do that? How do you put that together? So I would say in my first 5 years, I'm lucky I didn't bankrupt this probably. I tried a lot of things to get it done. The key would be digital experience. I had a lot of internet experience, but frankly, the car buying experience wasn't ready for that yet. So it was very expensive to get into website development, too expensive to do, frankly. So after those first 5 years, I really settled myself down and said, okay, I have to change my model. How am I doing this? What can I get accomplished? What can really work? And so we changed that model dramatically there to make it more successful.
How has Brad Sowers brought technology into Jim Butler Chevrolet? How have they used it to become one of the largest dealerships in all of the country? We'll get that story coming up next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. The story of family businesses from all across the St. Louis region. This is The Business of Family Business, getting insights into Jim Butler Chevrolet. It's presented by CMA. We continue. Did your father-in-law give you any advice along the way?
I think he threw back the keys at me a couple of times after I threw them to him. So he is a very good mentor. He's a very process-driven person. Yeah. Wouldn't say he's the expert on customer relations or marketing from that standpoint, but from a process standpoint, making sure that you're getting a vehicle ready in the time period that you need to have it ready in, getting a vehicle serviced at the right time correctly, those are the things that he helped dramatically with.
What about with your wife? Was she becoming more involved with the business because she had a separate career at this time?
She ended up going back to work here as a lawyer. She really has never been involved in the business other than she's probably my best salesperson. She can shake hands and kiss babies a lot better than I can.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
So she's the closer. She can come in and help.
Right.
So has she ever been tempted to come into the family business, or have there ever been discussions at some point for her to join? Or
there has not really. I think she helps significantly from a legal standpoint.
Oh, okay.
There's an awful lot of contracts that you have to deal with and one range to the other. And so she helps, and her law firm helps dramatically on that. She has been very instrumental in putting together, as you guys know, with small businesses or family businesses, making sure the right documentation is in place so the transitions go well. So she has been instrumental in that part of it.
The transition. So you have twins. How old are they now?
They're 16.
Oh, 16. So they're still in high school.
Yes.
Do they, all their friends say, you got to have the coolest new car? Do they have the pressures because of their father's affiliation with the dealership?
I don't think so. They haven't done that, although I did get them two new vehicles, I feel like I had to do from that standpoint because I'm in the business, and they're actually pretty good kids. They only one speeding ticket, one accident so far. And I won't tell you which child had that problem.
But, did you feel the temptation to put a big decal on the side of it, considering you gave them the car?
Always. Always. I do that to my wife as well. Whenever I give her a car to drive and make her put, whatever website I want to advertise on the side of it.
Well, branding's a big part of what you guys
Absolutely.
Do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm guessing neither twin got a Corvette. Huh?
No, neither twin got a Corvette. So,
Jim Butler seems to have one of the newer automotive dealers in the St. Louis area. How does that stack up? Because I got to imagine there's been some dealerships that have kind of had legacy dealerships. They've been here since before 1980.
Absolutely. It's 100-year-old dealerships.
Right. So how do you compete with that, and how do you look at that as a region and say, that's what I'm up against right now?
Yeah, I think, I mentioned that the first 5 years are very difficult for me, and I think after that, we've had a lot of success. We put a lot of effort into it, from one, hiring the right people and making the decision to stick with those people through the process and develop a team and approach. So we've taken the Chevy store from you know, number 10 or number 12 in the St. Louis area to being number one in the last 5 years, but also we're in the top 25 in the nation. So we sell anywhere between 400 and 600 vehicles a month out of the Fenton location alone. So
it's great.
It's been a great growth story. We've been awarded Dealer of the Year for 2 years running now. That basically means high volume, top 20 usually in the country. Also, top customer satisfaction statistics, and then top service statistics as well, as far as getting customers through the service line. So I think we've done a very nice job and differentiated ourselves, and mostly through digital. And then, of course, our jingle, Jim Butler's the Chevy powerhouse. And so we advertise quite a bit on TV, and I think most people can recite that nowadays.
You talk about digital. That was another big change in the industry, too. You said you were someone that was an early adopter, but it was maybe a little bit too early. Digital, now when it comes to a lot of different dealerships, you can't get away from a web specialist where you can just communicate with whoever you want at the dealership at any given time just by chatting with them online. And that leads to a lot of sales in the long run, too.
It does. About 75% of our business is done online.
Really? Right? 75%?
So, yeah. So we've kind of pioneered, about 6 years ago, we pioneered a business development center approach. And basically, we allow our consumers, and when I talked about the digital age, it's very open, very transparent. So we feel, and we make the statement, every person, it doesn't matter if you're 92 years old coming to buy a car or you're 16 years old, we're assuming you've done all your research already, and there's a good chance you have. So everything's out in the open. Whatever questions you have, we can answer online via chat, via phone call. The Business Development Center is staffed almost 12 to 13 hours a day and 6 days a week. So it really helps answer those questions that people have, saying, okay, I see this online. What does this mean? What if you get this special, what does that mean? And we want to be able to answer those questions. And then we're almost to the point where 30% of our business we do sell from a Chevy perspective. We have a Kia store, and now Maserati and Alfa and Fiat. We're selling in 32 different states, you know, from this area. So because of that, because of people can call or people can chat or people can email or they can click into our website and they can get the information they need. And most of the time, that's a great selling process because the consumer says, I know I want a Silverado. I know I want this color, and I know I want these features. You happen to have one. If you're going to treat me well, and the pricing's fairly open because it's out on the web, let's take it, and we'll deliver it to them.
Yeah. So sometimes they're buying them strictly online. They're able
strictly
to see them,
online,
and then you can deliver it right there.
Absolutely, yeah. Concierge service.
Wow.
If I buy from out of state and I buy from you, do I have to come to St. Louis to get the car? Do you bring it to me, or...
I'll bring it to you. It depends on what you like to do. So there's two things. So the most complicated part about buying a vehicle in today's world is your trade-in, payoffs, if you owe anything on your trade-in, and then the tax laws associated with registering the vehicles at your particular state, right? So we have experts that can put all that together for you. And then depending on what you want, some people say, no. I want to fly in, I want to see the truck, or I want to do this, or I want to get this accomplished, and then I'll drive it home. Fine, that works. I talked to a customer we had in North Carolina, and I asked him the question, because I always like to know, why did you do business with us? You know, you bought a truck, and he goes, well, be honest with you, I called five dealers before I called you guys. And you were the ones that answered the questions, you're the ones that gave us the pricing that we were looking for, and you said you'd deliver it to my home. So... seemed very easy to me. I knew what I wanted. It's just I couldn't get the service required along the way.
Yep.
And we were one of the five dealers that had exactly what he wanted in inventory, so he could get it right away.
We wrap up our conversation with Brad Sowers, who's the owner of Jim Butler Chevrolet, third generation family business. Some insights into that and also some advice for other family businesses listening today. It is the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. And as you hear their story, you realize that family businesses are like every other business. Really, I want you to imagine what it's like for a business owner when they make the decision of selling or retiring. It's a little bit more personal because you have that family touch. CMA Consulting is leading a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation if you're ready to pass it down to someone in the family and also develop them to be effective owners. Unify the family, develop the next generation. Align them, align the two. They're bringing together people and talent experts, tax and accounting and legal and banking and risk management. Sometimes the next generation, they don't know what they're getting into, but you do. You have the experience and you want to be able to teach that to them. And CMA Consulting will help facilitate that, bringing successful family harmony to that generational transition. Contact CMA Consulting for a complimentary, no obligation meeting to discuss your family business or an upcoming generational transition, or even the benefits of their new program called the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. Go to cmaconsult.com or give Dan Bean a call at 314-721-1860 to see if a program is right for your family business. Again, it's the website that every family business listening right now needs to know, cmaconsult.com.
Monday night, the Chiefs return to Arrowhead to entertain the Denver Broncos.
Touchdown!
Pre-game at 6, kickoff 7:30. Hear the game on AM 590 and Sports Radio 98.1 HD3.
And welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA. If you would like to have your family business highlighted on this show, it's very easy. We're looking for new family businesses to interview. Go to cmaconsult.com. Reach out to Dan Bean. Let him know you're interested. We continue one last time with a very well-known family business in the area, Jim Butler Chevrolet. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You probably see this a lot with family businesses, that they reach beyond state lines. It's not just necessarily just one geographic location, but the business that they do and the products or services they offer reach a large amount of people.
So the family businesses would be no different than any private, other private or actually public. That's just business today. I mean, the boundaries are usually been breached or done away with completely. Transparency, as Brad said, transparency is going way up because of the availability of information, and the business has to respond to the desires of the marketplace or they will go somewhere else.
Yeah. Has your kids expressed interest of getting into the business at all?
They haven't yet. I think they come by and they sit and listen. They love the stories, obviously, with the customer stories, other dealership stories. They're friends with other dealers that we know around town, and so I think they would be interested. We're driving them towards school, obviously. Now we're doing the college research, and then we'll let them make their own decisions. I don't have any specific plans for them.
What about your father-in-law? Is he still around or in the picture today?
He is still around. I'm going to say 76 now. Yeah. He hasn't really been active in the business in the last 10 years for me. Always there for a phone call. In fact, I talked to him today. We're looking at a real estate transaction. So he is my mentor, making sure that I'm not making a stupid decision, right? And somebody to talk through the details with. So, relaxing in Florida, as I'd like to say.
Well, good. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting.
So, Brad, do you ever have to touch base with your wife's siblings about a major move, like a real estate transaction or selling something or entering a new line of business, bringing on another brand?
Well, and I think the answer is no, and by design. So one of the things I would say as a benefit coming from outside of the business, coming and having other business experience, I put things in place that made sure that I would own eventually the majority of the business and can make those decisions. So if there was one smart thing that I did in my life, it was making sure that happened. Now, I will say that my father-in-law, if he wasn't open to that or didn't approve of that process, that would have never have happened because you can, in this family business world, it's a very difficult process to say, okay, this sibling is going to be the one that's going to take over the process. I was blessed with some success in the business. We took over. We had a tragic experience in 08, 09 when GM filed for bankruptcy and we had four Saturn dealerships that went away. Jackie, who, you know, could have made the decision to say, hey, I want to be part of the Chevrolet business now, made a decision she wanted to get out of the business. And so that kind of drove the process that said, okay, I'm going to be the person taking over the business in general overall. And then as we've put things in place, that's what's occurred. So I've been able to get that accomplished. I still have, Jim has a younger brother, Tom, mm-hmm. who is my fixed operation director, who I work with on a daily basis. And he owns 19% of the Chevy store and will continue to own it. Right, forever, I think, on his side. But again, from a majority standpoint, I get to make those decisions.
Does he have children in the business, or does he have children?
He does have children, but they're not in the business.
So at some point, is it safe to say that you will probably end up buying him out?
I think that's a strong possibility. You know, agreements are in place for that, if that's what he wants, right? Okay. And I think in all worlds, 51% means a lot. Right. So I think what I try to drive is a good family business. I think we all, while there's been the difficulties through the years on family business, I think overall it's in a very good place right now.
So if you were to give some advice, let's say for your kids and hoping they take over, what are some of those key lessons, some words of wisdom you would use to inspire them?
Having your own individual success in something outside of the family business, I think, is key. That's there. But also understanding that success doesn't come by yourself. Mm-hmm. And one of the lessons I learned in my first 5 years in the business is I tried to be that dictator and I tried to be that top guy that was making every decision and doing the processes and thinking I knew what was right. And what I found is that I needed to open my eyes up and say, okay, I don't understand this business. It's not what I used to do. It's not how I used to do it. I need to bring some expertise in, sit down, and develop people. I can develop people with my own education and style and make them successful as a person, but I need somebody to bring on board that I can take to that next level. Mm-hmm. And that's willing to listen for my advice on that side, and I'm willing to listen of their advice on the business side of the car business, as an example. And I was blessed with that. I've had a couple of partners from Kyle to Don in my business today. Those relationships that I started over 10 years ago have been very successful for me. And now they're part owners of the businesses that I've started. And it's enabled me to be successful. They're successful. And I think in turn, the business itself has really grown dramatically because we've taken an attitude of saying, let's work with people and let's make them the better than what they are today. Mm. And if you look at all of our employees, hopefully they'll tell you that that's the way they feel when they work for us. Right? Mm. They say, hey, this has been successful. So if I can give anybody that advice, get your legal ducks in a row to make sure in the end, you're going to have 51%. Mm-hmm. That's a key. And no matter how you do it, you have to get that done or mm-hmm. it'll never be successful from a decision-making standpoint. And then two, make sure you're developing the team that you want to be successful going forward.
Dan Bean from CMA, you just heard some words of wisdom here, and you also have heard about what has led the dealership to success. What are some of your thoughts on that?
So one of the key concepts that Brad has talked about over the last few minutes is the concept of control. He will end up with control of the Chevrolet business. The other brands he's brought on, he has others involved, but he has 51% control. So the control is key in a family business, and whether control is going to be vested in one person or whether control is going to be distributed so that several people have to be of a similar mind in order to move forward, that is a key tension point. And Brad has avoided that tension point by having 51% control. So if you look, Brad is Generation 3, his children are Generation 4, yet if the business passes on in the family, it's going to be two siblings that run the business. If they're both involved, that's a G2 dynamic, but they're actually G4 in terms of the generations among the family that have owned this business. So it has been control, but not heavy-handed. It's actually been control with a lot of collaboration and partnership with others, whether it's family or non-family. But when push comes to shove, or if push comes to shove, Brad's in control. Mm-hmm. That's a very effective model.
Brad, I want to thank you for coming in today, sharing your family business story. Also, Dan Bean, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
If you enjoy this conversation or would like to hear more from other family businesses from across the region, just go to KMOX.com and click on the Business of Family Business. We podcast these episodes, including the one you heard today with Brad Sowers from Jim Butler Chevrolet. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. I want to thank Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Go to CMAConsult.com if you would like to have your family business story told on this program. We'll see you again soon.